Hello, everybody. I'm Michel Nashan of Wholesome Wave, and I'm the guest editor this week on foodrepublic.com. So log in to the political section of Food Republic for fun, facts, great meaty stuff, everything delicious, everything real, everything ready to go. Foodrepublic.com. Thanks, Heritage Radio Network.
Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, everybody. You're tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flesh Fleming, and my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman, with a nice smile on his face.
I think we need to switch up the intro. I think we need to go hip-hop and a new... Maybe you wrap the intro in.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think you should.
How about to the...
Hip-hop is very big these days.
No, I understand. No, so how about I do it to I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor?
I'm talking about new. Cool.
Yeah, okay.
Not old 70s stuff.
All
right. Retro's not in.
Oh, like, retro's not cool. Not in. Okay.
Not cool.
My son, Andrew Newman, and a smile on his face. I think that's a good idea.
I'm going to wrap it next week.
That's a good idea.
I think I'm going to wrap it next week. Jack, I'm going to hit you with a beat.
All right.
We're going to change this up. We're mixing it up in 2012. Sorry I wasn't here last week. We won't let that happen again.
We didn't have a show last
week. Oh, great. I was bogged down in work. I don't know about you guys in there.
My producers and engineers are here. It's Jack Inslee, and it's the one and only Carlos. He's waving.
Yep.
That's what works on radio, Carlos.
That's right.
And we broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. All shows archived, podcasts.
Let's just get to it.
And today's show. While we're on the air, let's call. Somebody could call us.
718-497-2128.
Or you can
it's on the internet. It's on the website.
Or you can email us.
Info.
We'll take live calls during the stream.
Go for it.
Today's show is financial food issues. We're talking about...
I got a few. I'm sure you have a few as well.
Oh, I have a lot. Unfortunately, some of it's not such great news. You know, financially, the world is in a bad way, and financially, it's affecting us.
They're hitting a lot of people.
And it's kind of negative.
They're going after a lot of people nowadays.
Okay. So we know that everybody's broke. The government's broke. Mm-hmm. So particularly, well, the federal government's particularly broke, but I think the states are probably broker than the feds. So New York State is desperate, and the New York State Tax Department has been charged with trying to find revenue wherever they can find revenue, legally or illegally.
Awesome.
Terrible. So
they go more ways than one.
What's that?
They use a lot of different agencies to garner.
I know, but the revenue. Sales tax people are like highway robbery.
Sales tax is a tough one in the bar and restaurant industry. I don't know about the catering industry, but I know the bar and restaurant. It's very difficult.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the aggressiveness of the sales tax department with the hospitality industry. That would be caterers, fast food, restaurants, you know, any kind of...
Restaurants are a little easier, I think. But bars really have a hard
bars.
Time. Because, you know, you go into a bar and you like pay $5 for beer.
Yeah.
Your sales tax is already built
into that, correct.
So then you're cutting down your margin on the beer.
Right.
So instead of making more money, but if like you go to a restaurant.
Well, explain that to people. People don't necessarily understand what that means.
So what happens
is $5 for a beer.
Sales tax is 9%.
Almost.
Roughly.
Yes, 8.875. Right.
So you buy your beer for $1, say.
Yes.
You have to charge 10% for sales tax.
Right.
So you mark your product up 70% usually is a good margin, maybe even 80%. You want to get a full return, 80% return on your product.
Liquor on your liquor.
So say it's a dollar beer, you charge $5.
You're getting very technical here today. Go ahead.
Well,
that's good.
These
that's
food
good.
People want to open. This is how you do it. So you want to make at least 75% to 80%.
Well, because it's so hard to make it in that business,
and there's a lot of other costs that are involved.
That's right. They don't think about it. They just think about the cost of the beer.
Exactly.
But there's more to it. Go ahead.
So, bang! You got a dollar beer. You charge five.
$5.
80%
included in
but
that.
But now you got to knock off 10% for your
tax.
Right. And you got to back out the tax from your product. So instead of $5 for the beer, it's $4.50. Plus,
$4.50. You're about right. So $4.50 is the cost that you're actually selling it for,
and
the 50 cents is going to the state tax department.
And then the problem is, for bars, So you're losing that 50 cents.
Pizzerias have the same issue.
All these small restaurants are the same thing. Yes. In and out, quick.
Yes.
It's the same thing. You're losing the sales tax money. Whereas if you go to like a fast food or a regular restaurant.
They charge it right on top.
It's like a $7 beer or a $5 beer. They're still going to hit you with the sales tax on top of that amount, your food. Because it's easier because you're sitting there. It's not like you're running up to the bar.
Right.
Bang.
Right.
So
it's
then
the nature of the business.
So this is then where the sales tax department comes into play.
Well, the sales tax department comes into play
all
if
you're
not
over doing it properly.
Well, first of all, the sales tax department has it easier and easier and easier every year because there's less and less cash being transferred between the buyer and the seller.
And then on top of that, liquor companies have to report their sale of liquor and beer. No, it's a new thing. It's only a couple years old now.
Well, and then so cash was hard to follow. But credit card sales are easy to track. So the sales tax department has it easier and easier and easier. Now, there are some places that only take cash. But they're waving a flag out at the tax department.
Well, it doesn't matter. Even then, you're limiting your clientele because most people are just using
credit
cards.
What's the percentage of credit card use? Probably like 80%.
For me?
For most restaurants.
Places I work?
Most restaurants.
90%.
Yeah, 90%. So if somebody's only going to take cash, they're doing themselves a disservice. They're turning customers away.
Yeah. All right, you don't spend as much money at that place.
Okay, so let me tell you how it works for a caterer or some other. Years ago, I heard this story, and this is a similar story. Years ago, I heard a story where this butcher was selling chicken. He used to cook. He sold chickens, raw chickens, and he used to cook chickens, you know, rotisserie chickens, and he would sell them to people.
But no tax because they're...
Well, let me finish. So the sales tax department says you got to charge tax on the prepared food.
Yes.
So he said, no, it's not. They're not going to. Can I finish? That's the same thing. Whether I cook it or I sell it raw, they're still going to bring it home and they're going to sit down and then they're going to make dinner out of it. Okay. So the sales tax department, this is the truth. This is a true case. The sales tax department says, no, no, no. Once it goes below a certain temperature or goes above a certain temperature, it's considered prepared food.
No way.
He said, I'm telling you. So he said, well, what's the temperature? And whatever the temperature of the chicken was, then it was considered prepared food. So what he did was he cooked his chickens. He left them out on the counter to let them cool to room temperature, which was below the criteria for the sales tax department. And he sold them. And then the people had to go home and put them in the microwave or something. And then he got away without the sales tax.
That's retarded.
So that's what the sales tax department does. Here's another case.
Is that still the issue? Is that still the precedent that they set?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
I would just assume once you add labor to a product, that's when they charge.
No, they
that's
have
what
very.
I assumed this.
Let me tell you about a
how
caterer.
How the hell are you supposed to know?
Wait,
if you cook your food like gastro or whatever that crap is, where you don't actually cook it, and it just like cooks in its juices kind of thing, and it doesn't really get warm. Do you not pay sales tax then?
I don't think that's the case.
But what's the difference?
But a butcher sells raw chicken. He then sold chicken that was below serving temperature.
At some point, it had to get above serving temperature.
Well, not when he sold it.
But that just seems retarded.
No kidding. That's how ridiculous. Well, let me show you another case.
Go ahead.
Here's another case. Here's a caterer, okay? A caterer, it depends if he's a caterer or not. How important the food is. Watch this. If someone holds a conference at a hotel and they only serve coffee, then the hotel does not count the caterer for sales tax. However, if the conference serves lunch, then the hotel is considered a caterer and the entire bill is subject to sales tax.
Wait, so just coffee's not taxable?
It depends on how important the food is.
So if I sell coffee, it's not taxable, but if I sell real food, it's taxable? Or is this just catering?
This is just one example.
Interesting.
Watch this one. Here's another one. A farmer who sells pumpkins. Ready for this?
That shouldn't be taxable.
Watch. If it's used for food, it's not taxable. But if it's used to carve jack-o'-lanterns, then it's taxable.
But then you use the pumpkin for food after you're done with the jack-o'-lantern.
Well, that's what this farmer had to
do.
The sales tax department. So the farmer said, I'm
going to do a poll.
He asked the customers, are you going to use this to eat or are you going to use this to carve a jack-o'-lantern?
What if you say both?
What can I say? Then I guess you don't have to pay the sale. I don't really know, but that's insane.
You're giving very obscure things
this
here.
This is how obscure the sales tax is. Are you just giving me extreme examples
of how ridiculous
extreme?
They are?
Extreme?
That's an extreme example.
A pumpkin or a cup of coffee at a catering event?
Well, I'm just saying, most people don't go out, I want to open a pumpkin business. That's just...
A farmer. There's lots of farmers out there selling pumpkins in October.
Okay. But I think at that point, if you're just selling pumpkins along with your other vegetables, I think you'll be okay.
I think so.
Because it's not like you're just strictly a pumpkin place.
But this is how desperate the state is.
I understand that, but that's just like, you presume that it's all for food.
Okay.
Because you're selling it with all your other stuff. I presume this is for food.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's how it rolls. No, that's what you tell them.
I know.
That's what the client says. That's what
I did. Good luck with that.
Boom.
So let me tell you some more stories, okay? Pizzerias, notorious for underreporting their income to the sales tax department. Pizzerias are zeroed in on sales tax audits a lot, okay? So how do you think the sales tax... So you go in there in the pizzeria, a lot of cash in pizzeria. You know, a couple of slices. Okay. So the sales tax department comes in and says, okay, you sell your pizzas, you put them in a box, right? Yeah, all our pizzas go in a box. Okay. So we went to your box supplier and we calculated how many pizzas you sold and you underreported. And so the owner of the pizzeria says, no, that doesn't make any sense. I didn't sell that many pizzas. Well, you said that you put all your pizzas in a box.
Well, it's hard to prove something like that.
Watch this. So the pizzeria owner says, no, no, no. Sometimes I put sandwiches, subs, calzones, whatever in boxes too. So not everything gets, and sometimes they get thrown away or they get written on.
Whatever, it's a box by accident.
Correct. So the sales tax department says, we're not buying it. So then the pizzeria guy says, I'll show you. I have a good one. I'm going to go, everybody who buys pizza, the vast majority of my customers buy soda too. I'm going to go to my soda supplier and figure out how much syrup I bought, and he'll tell you how many...
One buys soda at a pizzeria.
That's not true. Lots of people buy soda.
Not as much as they buy pizza.
I don't think so.
Come on. You walk in and buy a slice of pizza, you always get a soda?
I always get a beverage. Yeah, ask the boys in the booth.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but what about... No,
beverage,
but she's talking about
beverage,
soda.
Well, beer or...
And then how do you prove fountain soda? Because you get a certain amount. What if the guys are drinking it in the office?
How many canisters of syrup? Okay.
What if your chefs are
anyway,
drinking
it? Anyway, the sales tax department accepted it.
That's retarded.
Okay, so here you go. You got to be
resourceful. What if you buy a bottle of soda?
That's a sale.
I'm saying... So
he has the sales of soda, too.
A bottle of soda is different than the fountain soda.
Listen to me. I'm telling you what the pizzeria owner did. Maybe he only sold fountain soda, okay, in this scenario. Well, the sales tax department accepted it. So you see what you got to do? Now, here's a little caveat here. You know, LLCs are very, very popular
nowadays.
I
have questions about LLCs.
LLCs are very popular. So if you're an investor in an LLC...
I have a question about that, too.
You are personally liable for anything that goes on in the company.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No matter what?
Well, for the most part.
Why would you form an LLC then?
Well, because it's easy to get in and out and investors and all sorts of other things.
It's easier than
that. It could be cheaper to run it.
And S-Corp is harder?
It's harder to get investors in and out. Yes, it's a little more complicated. LLCs are easier to transfer ownership, enter into selling and everything.
Okay.
But the reason why you want to go to an LLC, it could be cheaper long run in New York City, and there's other reasons too. It's pluses and minuses.
I
want to
hear. I have questions.
But
about
anyway,
all that.
Let me tell you something. You're an LLC owner. Suppose you throw some money at a restaurant. Say I want to invest, and the restaurateur falls behind on a sales tax. As the LLC owner, you're going to be liable
for your sales tax.
They just passed that law. Before, they would go after whoever. Now they just passed the law said you cannot go after more. If you only owe 14% of the company, you cannot go after an owner for more than 14% of the liability. That's a new law.
Wait, before anyone was on the hook?
Absolutely.
That makes no sense.
Whoever they could get the money
from.
Deep pockets.
That's illegal. That's unethical.
Well, so that's what's going on with sales tax these days. Be prepared. Oh, and let me tell you
Are sales tax audits up or something? Or?
Oh, way up. That's why I just started the whole thing with. They need money. They're way up.
I didn't know. You didn't say anything.
I'm sorry. And here's two things you should never do when you get an audit letter, okay? Business owners should never do this. Try to avoid the audit. Ignore the audit letter. Ignore the auditor. Ignore the appointment. Ignore everything.
Of course not. You're just throwing out more red flags.
That's right. The auditor's saying, what are they hiding? Audits are an ordinary part of business. And if you're in a hospitality business, they are more common in your business than in most. So that's part of doing business is being audited. Keep good records, okay? And then... Oh, the thing about records, too. You cannot use that as an excuse. You cannot say, well, my records got wrecked. I don't have my records. If you don't provide records, adequate records, and they deem them inadequate, then they do estimates based upon industry averages. Well, the pizzeria in your neighborhood down the corner does this much. We're going to apply that percentage to your business, too. And you're going to pay based upon the averages in your area.
That's crazy.
Well, that's the way it goes. So don't think that you're going to get over on them. They have a million different they do this all day long. They know how what people are doing to outsmart the sales tax department. The other thing they say to do is
Who are these people? Who's saying what?
Oh, the tax advisors.
Oh.
When you who provide
hire a professional?
Oh, absolutely. Got to hire a professional. And don't concede to the changes right away.
Of course not.
Well, because then it's an admission of guilt
right away. Always fight.
Yeah, you got to fight them. So.
You got to fight.
We have a minute for questions. You want to give me a question now?
I need a lot more than a minute. Let's go to a break now.
Let's take a break and we'll come back and you'll give me all your questions. All right? So we'll be right back.
Brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cast. We're talking about food and the financial issues. And we just finished talking about sales tax. But Andrew wants to go a little off topic here. And he has to ask me.
It's along the LLC topic.
He wants to
line,
ask some
really.
Specific questions. LLCs, yes.
It's just like, question IT-204-LL. It's an annual filing for an LLC. You have to pay a certain amount
of
money.
For New York State, yes.
Because of the amount of sales you have. I think it's ridiculous.
The number of partners.
Yeah, I know. And then what if the company went out of business the previous year, during the year?
I don't know. Do you have to file it?
Do you have to, I went out of business in 2010. Do you have to file one or 2011? Do you have to file one in 2012?
Well, is the form for 2011 or is the form for 2012?
The January form, that's due January 31st. Is that for 2011 or is it for 2012?
I don't know. You'd have to look it up.
You don't know? Wow.
I don't know. Awesome. I don't do taxes this year.
Oh, wow.
Don't ask me tax questions anymore.
Okay. I guess I have no more questions for you then.
Oh, go ahead.
Jack, do you have answers for tax questions? Or
I could Google it maybe.
Who's
we'll
the
see
expert
what
around here?
Okay,
this is ridiculous.
Go ahead. The answer is don't file it until they let you
question.
Write you a letter.
Another question. Employee profit sharing. What line does that go on in 1099?
Employee profit sharing?
Yeah.
It's a pension.
It's like a bonus.
Wait, is it a salary or your pension?
It's
usually profit sharing is a pension. You're given a check for the profit sharing or the amount of money as an employee?
Of a distribution from a company.
Well, it would have to go into their salary.
What if you gave them just a straight check?
Well, you have to take taxes out on that. You can't give an employee money without taxing it. It's income.
What are you talking about? People do it all the time.
Well, it's not legal. If you give an employee a check, you got to take taxes out on it. A taxable fringe benefit, a profit sharing check. It's all subject to tax.
Really?
Payroll taxes,
no.
Yes.
Wow.
You're going to write it off as a company expense?
Yeah.
The guy has to write it off. The employee has to pick it up as income.
Yeah, no, he picks up his income. Why do you have to pay payroll tax on it?
What kind of income is he going to pick it up on?
It's a distribution.
As a 1099?
It's a portion, yeah.
As a profit?
It's a portion of the profit distribution.
On a 1099, what are you going to call it?
That's what I don't know. So I'm asking you.
No, it's part of his payroll.
Why you pay
salary?
But it's a profit distribution. Why would you pay payroll taxes on a profit distribution?
It's just like when you're awarded options and stuff like that at a big company, they will pay payroll taxes on subject to salary. All of that is an employee subject to salary.
Really?
Absolutely. Boy, Andrew's confounded here.
That makes no sense.
Well, sorry.
So then, what would you do? Reduce the distribution by the amount of payroll taxes?
You have to run it through the payroll, yeah.
So then reduce it.
Correct. After tax. You got to issue after tax.
Like, why would you pay an extra 10% or whatever?
You don't have a choice. It's the law.
No, I'm saying just reduce the bonus by that amount.
Okay. You have another question?
Oh, I got plenty more.
Go ahead.
So, No, I don't want to ask that question. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. I just. What's the difference? Why would you set up an LLC compared to an S corp?
Oh, there's a lot of different reasons, and that just depends on the individual case by case situation. How many partners? What you're doing? What your plan is long term? What your plan is short term? I can't answer. That's not one size fits all. It depends on a multitude of reasons, and that's.
Can we talk about that like next show or something? Because you know that seems like a very important thing to talk about.
Okay.
Because like can talk about a lot of people are saying like I want to set up a partnership. Should I use an LLC? Should I use an S corp? Should I use a partnership?
Right.
Like, why would I set up an LLC if I have to pay this annual tax for no reason for just being in business and then pay taxes on the income in the business?
They got to pay no matter what you are.
Like an S corp doesn't have that filing.
Oh yes, they do. Minimum tax. Whether you operate or don't operate, you pay a minimum tax to the state of New York and the city of New York.
But I'm saying, like, if I do like $5 million on an LLC, I have to pay $1,500 a year. Just driving an LLC. On top of that,
New York City and New York State also. New York City taxes you on your revenue too.
So S corp doesn't do that?
New York State S corp.
I want to have a whole show about this because I have a lot of questions about this. This is a very important thing to me.
Well, you're making me review tax law for 2011.
I think you should. Okay. I think you should look this up. Okay. Like, what if I have questions? What if someone else has questions? Like,
Okay. But can we stick it to food now? We're talking about food today.
No. I got food questions too.
Okay.
Food questions. I had food questions. You see, you just threw me off by not answering my other questions.
Well, think about it. In the meantime, I have a nice food story because I gave you bad, tough news the first time out. So here's good news.
Go ahead.
So some nice old guy was made himself a garden in Chicago, and he was growing vegetables, okay? This is a really nice story. And he went out to check his he's grown broccoli. And he went out to check his garden one day, and he found two duffel bags stuffed with money. And he found $150,000 cash in the two duffel bags in his broccoli patch. So what do you think he did? Andrew's texting while he's on the radio.
I don't know.
What would you do?
I would spend the friggin' money.
$150,000 in a broccoli patch. What would the boys in the studio do? This sounds like the guy who caught the Derek Jeter ball.
$150,000 cash. I wouldn't say a word to anybody.
In a broccoli patch.
I wouldn't say a word to anybody.
He turned it in.
What an idiot.
He turned it in, and the owner still hasn't come forward, so he's filing the paperwork to stake his claim, and he's going to get to keep the money.
Oh. I would have just spent the money.
Isn't that nice?
Who the hell dropped $150,000?
Well, you know what? In a case like that, he's right, because
if all of a sudden
have $150,000 and plop it into your bank, you're asking.
No, whoa. Well, now you just spend it out the pocket, Dan.
That's right.
Well, not easy to spend $150,000.
Over the course of my life, I would
turn it in as well.
You're lying, Drew.
No, well, it covers your ass. If someone comes looking
for $150,000,
what it did. I would want my ass covered too. Because if I get killed, and it's $150,000 gone, no one's gonna know where the wallet is.
That's right.
Good point.
I get popped off for $150,000.
Yes,
they're gonna go looking reason.
Like,
that guy had $150,000 dropped in his yard.
Yeah,
boom, dead. I kill someone for $150,000.
Yeah, I mean $150,000 cash.
Jack, you back that up. I don't want that on air.
Yeah, really. Strike that from the record.
Carlos. You know how to delete that, right, Carlos?
We may not have that technology yet.
Okay, so we got any more food questions?
No, I want to back up to the fact. I honestly probably wouldn't kill anyone for $150,000.
No, we know that.
Just
true.
You never know out there.
Okay,
like,
but
this is the kind of information.
But we're talking
this
about.
This is like when I got mad at the old people and I said, just kill all the old. And,
yeah, but you didn't worry about the repercussions from that statement.
Because some old people should really die, I think.
Shut up, Drew.
Oh,
is it Number Nuts time?
No, well,
I'm trying to get Drew to go to Number Nuts.
Go to Number Nuts. I got questions about health insurance.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Okay, we're going to talk about what it costs to be overweight and obese.
I love it because I recently got insurance and
got medical insurance.
I got health insurance and I'm gonna get dental as well. I'm very excited about dental.
Yeah, that's nice.
No, because I think they don't knock you out for pre-existing conditions for dental, and I gotta get my. I think I have some work that needs to be done.
He's getting very personal on the radio.
I have some serious work that needs to be done in the mouth.
Okay.
And I think dental would help cover costs.
Well, we'll talk about that.
I want to bang it out. I got to get like a... All right, go ahead. Do your questions, and then we'll talk about my personal experiences.
Everybody in the studio is on the hook.
Yeah.
I only have a few questions, and then we just have some general topics to talk about how much it costs to be fat, overweight and obese. Right. These are two separate categories.
For the record, everybody in studio here is pretty fit, so...
Yeah. So...
Wow, thanks, Jack.
Okay. Over the age
I feel special now.
Over the age of 20... What percentage of Americans are overweight?
33%.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the same thing. Carlos?
Well, I'll give you a multiple choice.
No, 33.
Carlos goes 40%.
Okay, well, the answer is 34%, boys.
Nice.
So you got that one. That's pretty good. But that, I think it's higher than that.
It's definitely higher than that. Because okay. I think the average weights have jumped a lot since back in the day when people were actually healthy. Like now,
but this is a current survey.
Like,
so.
I'm no offense, I'm pretty damn skinny. But if you look at my height and weight, I'm where I should be.
Right.
I don't have a lot of fat on me.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people are like, why, you're too skinny? I'm like, no, I think you guys have a weird skewed perception of how big you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because like everyone's just getting fatter and fatter. And like,
oh, yeah.
That's like the norm. I'm like, no.
Americans are fat.
No. I'm the norm.
Yeah.
You guys are outside the norm.
Right.
Sorry. I just want to talk about how much better I am than everyone out there.
Oh, okay.
Everybody.
So being overweight now. That's not obese. Overweight. Okay. Costs women how much more a year?
In clothing or is it?
Oh, wow. Yeah. What are we defining this by, you know?
This is just total cost.
Extra makeup to cover up the ugliness?
Total. It just says.
I'm just getting mean
being
now.
Overweight
I'm just
costs.
Mean now.
Yeah. Costs so much
is
a year.
Is that bad?
Taking cabs because they can't walk.
Yeah, I know, really.
All their additional costs. But you'd be surprised. It's not as much as I thought it was, frankly. I'll give you that little
25% more than an old person.
What's the amount?
$10,000 a year.
Okay. An actual cash value?
Well, you know,
ten G's.
Because how do you throw a cash? What if someone makes $100,000 compared to like someone who makes like 50?
No. Well, you have to take an average. It's an average. Okay, let's talk about obesity. Not overweight, obese. Obese. Remember, obese is like how much percentage over the normal weight, like 30% or something like that. We're talking about fat people.
Okay,
women. It costs them how? I'm going to give you three numbers. You're going to give me them a guess.
All right.
It's going to, how much more it costs a year just because in general, just everything. $5,000 a year, $10,000 more a year, $15,000.
I already guessed 10.
Jack already guessed 10. I'm going 15 because women are spending
15.
15.
Okay, Carlos, the answer is $5,000 a year. That's what it says.
That's because.
And men, how much does it cost men? It's different number.
Same choices? No?
Nope. There's
I think it's a lot more money because they eat a lot more when
we do less.
$1,500 a year, $2,500 a year, or $15,000 a year?
$15,000. I'm going $15,000.
$1,500.
Over the top. Let's go.
Carlos, what do you say?
He says $1,500 too.
All right, the answer is $2,500 more a year.
That's crap.
Okay, if you factor in dying early,
what about
the numbers go up some more?
I know.
Okay?
So what about the fact they don't live long, as long as
well,
we
that's,
do?
Yeah.
And they eat a lot more than we do.
Well, this
like,
isn't
my,
even talking.
My billing is a lot less than
well,
their billing.
Well, frankly, you know, they eat a lot of cheap food and healthy.
So do I.
No, but I eat a lot of better food. So my food bill may be the same.
Mine is really cheap.
Okay.
I eat a lot of McDonald's. I can't lie about that. I eat a lot of McDonald's and fast food. KFC is one of my favorites. Hurts my stomach a lot, but God. I eat a lot of cheap food.
Okay.
I don't think anyone wants to care about. I don't think anyone cares about that.
Let me just tell you something.
I don't care about that either.
Obese men don't really lose anything in salary compared to
obese
non-obese men.
I saw an ugly woman on the train
but
yesterday.
Obese women do
like,
get paid less than all other women. And what do you think the percentage that women lose because they're obese?
15%.
Do they lose 6%, 16%, or 26%?
16%.
What do you say, Jack? Pick a number. 6, 16, or 26?
16.
Okay, well, the answer is 6%. Obese women make 6% less.
Can we factor in the fact that women make less money than men already? I think it's about 16% all in. That's what I'm going with.
Well, no, we're just comparing obese men to non-obese men and obese women to non-obese women. Okay. Absenteeism.
What does that mean?
How many days you're out of work?
A lot.
Miss
more.
Work.
A lot more.
Well, how many days do you think that women take off sick days more than obese women versus non-obese women?
Well, I learned this thing recently about this corporate American structure where you're given, I think,
so
like
many
30
sick days.
Sick days a year.
Oh, it's not even close. It's like 5 or 10.
It's way more than that. It's
no.
like 20.
No,
depending
it's
on
not.
How long you've been working.
No, it's not. Sick days?
I talked to a lot of people.
No.
And they don't roll them over. I have friends who take off like one day a week the last month and a half of the year. And they don't have to go to work.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't use it, they lose it.
You want to talk about obese women, though?
At this point, I don't know, because I have very
fit
friends.
They use more sick days.
I have very fit
friends. Obese women use more sick days. Doesn't that make sense?
I guess
okay.
so. I use a lot of sick days.
So they use...
What about alcohol? Is there an alcohol thing
days,
in
oh, boy.
Five more days a year for obesity than non-obese women. Okay. What are some of the things that they do cost America? You don't have to come up with numbers, but some of the things that they cost, I'm talking about working people, working obese people.
A lot more.
Well, what
they're
kind of
less productive.
What do you mean,
productivity,
they cost us?
Productivity is a, they lose money for productivity.
They take up extra planes on seats on the airplane and on like trains, so that costs us that.
But they don't. That doesn't.
They
cost
just take
us
up more space in general.
They take up more space, but so that's
well, it prevents people from getting on the train or on the airplane. Health insurance prices go through the roof.
Health insurance and life insurance and life insurance.
I literally blame smokers and drinkers for driving up these things when it's actually fat people.
But a lot of fat people drink and smoke.
Well, that also a bad combination as well.
but smokers and drinkers do cost more money, too. Okay.
You know,
not bought. Everything.
And I wanted to get into this, too. Health insurance companies aren't really dying for money at the point either because they're raising their prices 20% a year no matter what.
They also pay more for short-term. They also collect more short-term disability.
Another bullshit thing.
Well, that's what they do. And
women get even more of that, too.
And here's an interesting one. They pay more for gasoline because they're heavier and their cars take up less.
They take up more space.
And they also use their cars more.
Lose weight.
So being fat, being obese, and being overweight.
What do you think is worse, being obese or being a smoker?
Don't tell me. One is bad. The other one is better.
You got a bad vice. Which one would it be?
No, I'm not going to choose between the two.
Why not? Should I just get fat?
You know what? I'm not answering that. You should quit smoking.
I already quit smoking. I get fat now? Alcoholics? Are alcoholics bad, too?
Yeah, alcoholics are bad. Listen, we're going to cut away now.
All right.
And we're going to come back next week with a revived hip-hop opening. And Andrew's going to be the
rapper.
Awesome. There you go. Keep starting.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.